Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Woo! Got choked up.
I noticed.
How about that? Woo! Welcome to a Wednesday. It's a Wednesday. We have a Campbell. Play it while I choke.
Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
It's hump day. Do I have my voice back? I'm over here. I swallowed wrong, and all of a sudden, I was choking on my words. Oh,
you can't
gosh.
Swallow right before you go on. You run the risk of that.
Is that the new rule?
Yeah.
All right, no swallowing.
No swallowing at all during the show.
Exactly. Just suck it up, man. All right, so listen, let's start a show. JP, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Struggled watching a rough Alabama game last night, but the sun came up, so we're good.
I saw earlier on social media that like there were 14,000 students waiting in line for the Auburn game.
Yeah, there's a lot less student section in that small stadium, but I say
in that small stadium, is that what you just said? Did you just go there?
I think I've seen high school arenas bigger than Auburn
okay.
Stadium.
Okay. You know, here I am trying to be nice. All right. Well, listen, hey, we got a great show laid on for you coming up at 3:30 p.m. today. Our friend Emily Jones, founder of Moms for Liberty out of Madison, and also one of our podcasters. She has the Controversial Mom podcast. It comes out every, Monday? Sunday, really.
Sunday nights,
yeah. Sunday nights. It's out right now. So we'll have Emily Jones on talking about some things that I'll inform you of in just a minute. And then at 4 o'clock today, as always, every Wednesday, you know the deal, one of our best segments all week long, the Grand Council with my brethren in talk radio, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. So we'll do that at 4 o'clock. And then on top of that, I still got a triple dipper. So hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Oh, my voice is coming back. This is wonderful. Number one, modern suffrage. What is suffrage? All right, suffrage is usually relegated to the idea of someone desiring the ability to vote. But I'm going to tell you right now, women have fought for suffrage, the right to vote. But now I'm starting to wonder if women are having to fight for the right just to be women. What do I mean by that? Well, look at the efforts by the Biden administration to degrade Title IX. Look at the fact that Democrats won't vote for the Protection of Women Act in sports. I mean, it's just unreal. We're going to talk about that with Emily Jones at 3:30. And then I got some other examples. And I have to say, I have no choice but to compare and contrast the fact that yesterday Democrats gave Pete Hegseth just a complete ration as he, you know, was questioned by you don't like women in the military. You're going to be against women. And then they're out there voting against women in sports. And I just think that the whole thing indicates a schizophrenia on the side of the Democrats that they need to overcome. Anyway, number one, triple dipper, modern suffrage. We'll talk about it then. Number two, didn't get to it yesterday, so we'll get to it today. Live free or die. Live free or die, the Second Amendment. What is happening with your Second Amendment rights? You may be surprised to learn that the Democrats are not reading the room very well. They are determined to degrade your Second Amendment rights at any given turn. And they're doing everything they can. And I've got some great stories about it, and I'll tell you about the fights that are being had on your behalf. Live free or die, number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, I'm just calling it relief. So our friends in East Tennessee and over into North Carolina are still suffering in their recovery from the Hurricane Helene disaster that swept through. It feels like FEMA has slow rolled. Now, FEMA would argue, but it feels like FEMA has slow rolled. And FEMA has not been as responsive. And the federal government has not been as responsive. And then you look at California, where Biden says, we're going to pay for everything. It's all going to be good. Don't you worry. And he flew out there right away. And he's, you know, slobbering over the idea of making sure that things happen in California. And you got to look at it and go, where's the relief, man? So we'll talk about relief, number three, on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me jump into today's opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue. Every single day, I'll remind you guys that it is brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald from the law firm of Wilmer & Lee out of Huntsville. Stan McDonald, sponsor of the Right Side Way, and I will tell you more about him momentarily. So here's the thing. Yesterday, We spent a great deal of time on the show focusing on the status of the U.S. military and the confirmation hearing for Pete Hegseth, Trump's nominee to be Secretary of Defense. And if you miss the show, let me just recap by telling you Hegseth knocked it out of the park. Generally speaking, that is the consensus. He had the left-wing members of the Senate Armed Services Committee just tongue-tied. As he kept his composure, he evidenced a grasp of the facts about rebuilding a military that can both deter and defeat our enemies. He talked about peace through strength. He heralded the end of wokeness, DEI, and the streamlining of a bloated defense bureaucracy. But most importantly, though, and this is the thing that really got me, Hegseth said that his focus would be on the individual soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines that would serve under him. And y'all, it was a breath of fresh air. Those young men and women who serve our nation in uniform, who volunteer to go to hard places and do hard things, they deserve a leadership that has their back. A leadership that takes responsibility and will be accountable for mistakes and give credit to the actual warfighters when it goes well. But as I thought about all this, I couldn't help but reflect in somewhat of a personal way. You see, I've been downrange. I've had times when it felt like no one in the rear knew what you were going through, right? Asinine orders and directives that made someone at headquarters feel good about themselves fell flat when they were sent out to the front lines. As the war in Afghanistan started, I found myself deploying immediately. 9/11 happened. 90 days later, I was headed out to take a team to the far reaches of the Afghan theater where we lived among the Afghan people for nearly a year. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because it fits my narrative for the day. You see, just before I left to mob out of Fort Bragg, I had a visitor, a legendary Green Beret, an awardee of the Medal of Honor. His name was Ola Lee Mize, and he came to see me that day. He walked into my office unannounced. He wanted to see me. Well, when Colonel Mize wants to see you, everything stops, I can just tell you, and you see him. The man had fought in the Korean War and did 3 tours in Vietnam. He was one of the founders of the Special Forces School and the Combat Diver School. And besides the Medal of Honor, Colonel Mize also had the Silver Star, 5 Bronze Stars of Valor, and the Purple Heart. And what got me, though, was how anyone who had ever served under him just revered him. I once attended a special ceremony for him where men came from all over the nation to honor him, men who said they owed him their lives and would follow him anywhere. Well, Colonel Mize, he walked into my office that day in December of 2001, and he sized me up for a minute, and then he shut the door to my office. And he stood there for a few seconds, and he said, "Williams, I hear you're going to the war." I said, "Yes, sir." He nodded, and he said, "Where are you going to be?" I told him I didn't have my assignment yet, but I understood I was going to be out on a remote team. And he nodded again, then he got real serious, and he said, "Let me tell you something. Going to come the day, you're going to be out there with your men, and some blankety-blank in the rear is going to tell you what to do, and you're going to know it ain't right. You tell him go to hell. You take care of your men." I mean, what do you say to that? I just said, "Yes, sir." And then he shook my hand, and he said, "All right, you do good now." And he turned around and walked out. Whole meeting lasted about 30 seconds, and I have never forgotten it. And I leaned on that advice several times since then. And that's why I listened so avidly to Pete Hegseth's opening statements yesterday. You see, I'm a third-generation Army officer, my father, my grandfather, and I, but my son is on active duty now. And the fact that the man who wants to lead the Department of Defense spoke so avidly, so passionately about being there for the troops and restoring morale and rebuilding capabilities and removing obstacles and awarding actual merit, I mean, y'all, it was more than just refreshing. It even got a little emotional. I served personally in part under Reagan, and I retired under Trump. But I also served under Clinton and Obama. And I want for this current generation, to include my son, to have the best. To have the best weapons, the best choices, the best training, the best leaders, the best experiences. And my hope is that the morale and the leadership will pour over into our society as a whole. By and large, I really do believe that America still loves its troops. We do. I know that, and they deserve it. But leadership from D.C. makes a difference. My sincere hope is that returning a policy of peace through strength will also mean that society will follow suit in a strong way. Like sitting here on my desk in the Right Side studio, I have Ted Nugent's autograph that I got in Baghdad in 2004 when he and the late Toby Keith came over to play for the troops. That was a crazy day with a crazy story, and I might tell you more about it later. But there are still those stars and celebrities who will go where the troops are to bring them some relief and entertainment when they're far from their homes. But how many really do what they can to honor them? I mean, to really honor them. You see, leadership in D.C. can actually ask for them to do that. Leadership that cares about the troops will actually reach out to celebrities and ask them to please go over there and do what you do and tell the young men and women they're important and they're not forgotten. But I don't believe that kind of focus on troops has been there for the past 4 years. No one's been pressing Hollywood to go see soldiers. But y'all, there was a time. There was a time when they lined up to do it. When Bob Hope would spearhead the USO shows and troops knew that when they were over there that America would come to see them and remind them of home. And one of the best at that was John Wayne. When I got back from my first tour in Afghanistan, I was demobbing at Fort Bragg, and on one of those Sunday mornings, I decided I was going to go to church and take a short walk over to what it was known as the Special Warfare Chapel. If you're ever at Fort Bragg, which is currently called Fort Liberty, I encourage you to check out the Swick Chapel. It's a full-size church. The stained glass windows, they depict soldiers kneeling in prayer on the battlefield. But standing in front of the chapel is a granite monument about 5 feet high. And it says on it, "In tribute to the men of the Green Berets, U.S. Army Special Forces, whose valiant exploits will inspire mankind." And in very small script at the bottom of the base, it says, "Presented by John Wayne, July 4th, 1968. I mean, you got to love that. Green Berets, John Wayne, and Jesus all in one place. But John Wayne, he loved troops. The year before that monument was dedicated, Wayne had also released his epic film called The Green Berets, and critics hated it. Roger Ebert said the film was, quote, cruel and dishonest. The New York Times said it was rotten and false. War protests were underway back in the States, but troops were overseas fighting and dying, and John Wayne, he wasn't going to make an anti-war movie. He told a story the troops loved. He told a story that made them proud. It did honor to their sacrifices, but he didn't stop there. Wayne visited the troops in Vietnam multiple times. One of the written accounts of his time with soldiers said, quote, "The soldiers felt this giant hand on their shoulder and a voice saying, 'Hello, soldier, I'm John Wayne. I just want you to know that a hell of a lot of folks back home appreciate what you're doing.'" Said that some of them would break out in tears. Troops would write him letters, thanking him for being one of them. And he would write back and tell them the letters meant more than they could ever know. John Wayne said once, "I cannot sing or dance, but I can certainly talk to the kids." The point was, it was not about him. It was about them. It was about what Pete Hegseth told the nation yesterday. It was about what Colonel Mize said to me. You take care of your men. You make sure that they know that they are more important than anything else, that we know and appreciate the fact that all the gee whiz firepower in the world, all the technology, all the strategy, all the muckety mucks back in the Pentagon, they don't mean anything more than the men or women who put their boots on the ground. So I am hopeful. I am ready to see it. I want it for my son and your sons and daughters and the next generation after that. I want to return to the halcyon days of duty, honor, and country and putting the troops first. And I think we're headed there. And I can't tell you how glad I am. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I'm telling you, I mean, all three of those stories surfaced in my mind. Pete Hegseth's comments yesterday. What Colonel Mize made a trip over to my office to tell me personally. And then I ran across that story about John Wayne just this morning. And I remembered the Swick Chapel where I'd gone to church when I came back. And I'll just be honest with you, y'all. That's what we need, is the honoring, the caring for, the loving on those who put on the uniform. It's a big deal. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, I told you that attorney Stan McDonald is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. Let me tell you about the guy. I know him personally. I think the world of him. Attorney Stan McDonald, he's a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee out of Huntsville. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law up in North Alabama. Not only will Stan advocate for your legal needs, but y'all, he's been an absolute, like, warrior on all the causes that Right Side Ruffians care about. So for years, and I mean, he really has. Attorney Stan McDonald, he has represented his clients in literally thousands of real estate transactions. He can also represent you ably in local, state, and federal courts. And I like to say, when Stan McDonald is on your side, you have no greater friend, and likewise, your adversaries will have no greater foe. So yeah, Attorney Stan McDonald, here's how you reach him. I'm going to give you his number. You ready? Attorney Stan McDonald, an America First family man and an attorney. Here's his number, 256-479-3020. That's 256-479-3020. 1-800-520-2020. And do me a favor, tell him you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And now I got to do the thing. No representation made the quality legal service be informed greatly with quality legal service for the lawyers. Bam. Dun, 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 dun. Just like that. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Got a bunch of y'all texting already. Jeremy from Madison. He says, great monologue. You made me laugh out loud when you said Green Berets, John Wayne, and Jesus. I know, man. How do you, I mean, listen, think about it. You're at the Special Warfare Chapel. You got Green Berets, John Wayne, and Jesus all in one place. It's awesome. I got a couple minutes left, and there's a phone call on line one. Let me grab it real quick. Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, bud?
Hey, Uncle Phil. Great monologue. Great monologue. Proud of you and your service, obviously.
Thank you, man.
I'm middle generation. My father was Army, my older brother Air Force, my granddaughter is in A school up at Great Lakes in right. The U.S. Navy. We'll travel up in mid-May to see her graduate, and I'm hopefully going to be able to pin on her E4, Petty Officer Third Grade. I'm so excited.
That's good.
That Pete Hicks has taken over DOD. I've briefed at the Pentagon. I've briefed SEC Army. I've briefed General Shinseki myself. I've seen how people think up there. There's great potential for good. There's high-level strategic thinking. And then there's also political largesse. And I think Pete has Hegseth is going to be the right guy to go in there and clean house and do everything for our warfighters. So I'm very excited, just like you are.
Well, I agree, man. And great comments. And thank you for your service again. And thank you for your granddaughter's service. And that's very cool. You're about to go pin on some new rank. She's only been in for like a year, right?
Oh yeah, she was. We went up to see her graduate boot camp in mid September. She'll finish A school in mid May.
Yeah, that's great. That's good stuff. Well, tell her I said congratulations, and she's obviously speeding her way through the ranks. But yeah, you're right, man. I can't wait for Hegseth to go in there, and I just pray that that you know all of the powers that be don't try to throw roadblocks in front of his way so we can get some stuff done. Sparky, I got to run, brother. You take care.
Hi, Phil.
See ya. All right, more text messages are popping in. We'll get those when we come back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, Tuscaloosa, to Gadsden. And this big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, too, just for good measure. Yeah, welcome to all you Chattanoogans. We're glad to be on the air at WGOW 1150 AM out of Chattanooga. So thank you for joining us. And listen, if you guys aren't familiar with the texting lines and all that, just know that Right Side Ruffians communicate with this show all the time. So 833-687-4448. Let me get a few more of those out of the way before I lose track, because, I mean, y'all text so much sometimes during the show that if I don't keep up along the way, they'll be piled up on me.
By the way, if you're listening on 1150 AM at Chattanooga, we'd appreciate it. Let us know. Text us in. Let us know.
Yeah, I would love to know. Stephen from Athens, great text. He says, well, Colonel Williams, he said, any concerns I had regarding Pete Hegseth are now allayed. I just heard Pete's testimony before the Congressional Subcommittee, and that did it. By the way, he said, do you ever listen to Michael Berry? And no, I don't listen to Mike Berry. I don't have a chance to, but thank you that. And then he said, and by the way, just reported that the Trump garbage truck is going to be part of the inaugural parade. I did hear that. That's an awesome troll. And then he says, one last thing, Phil, I sure need a new coffee mug. It'd be great to get a sip hot coffee brewed using liberal tears from a right side mug. yeah, Stephen, we are bringing in new merchandise right now. We just got one batch of mugs in. Another batch of mugs is due, I think, next week.
And the mugs look great.
And the mugs look really sharp. And then we also got hats and T-shirts, and the online store goes back up in spades here very soon. We also, by the way, this is kind of cool. Now, I love these things. We got these little glasses. What do you call this kind of glasses? What are they called?
I don't even know tumblers what they're called.
Glass tumblers. They're like, yeah. like made like half size. They're like made for scotch or something And it's got a bullet embedded in the glass. And it has engraved on there, Right Side Media, Bulletproof Influence. Those are going to sell like hotcakes.
I've never even seen one before. You showed me one in the studio. I've never even heard of one of those before. Oh, until I saw it.
It's
pretty
cool,
sick.
Isn't it? Yeah, yeah, it's got a 308 round. Just in, like they heat the glass up, embed it in the glass, so it's like it got shot but didn't go through. And then it's going to say, it says on, and we've got it all proofed, and they're on the way. Right Side Media, bulletproof influence. Harris from Athens says, apologies for the text here. It says, and you've got a whole bunch of stuff about the liberal climate bunch in California. I tell you what, let me come back to that text because I'm going to be doing a whole section on relief later. Harris, great text on that. Brett from Coleman checks it in on the wrong show.
He texted him from Dale's show.
He's texting him from Dale's show.
I can tell because it says 6:14 a.m.
Mark from Red Bay says, I remember you telling the story about Toby Keith. He said one of his bodyguards is a man from right here in Red Bay. I didn't know that. He said he was a Marine Scout sniper that was attached to a Navy SEAL team. He came to our church and talked in a Veterans Day program about some of his missions and time with Toby. Much respect for anyone that has served in the military. That is an awesome story. And I'll tell you what, Mark from Red Bay, if you're still listening right now, if you have his contact information, I would love to maybe hear from him. That'd be very cool. Merle from Hartselle, Alabama says, did you know that Ted Nugent had a pavilion built at Fort Sam Houston for our soldiers so the burn victims could sit outside? No, I did not know that. He said, I sat out there and talked with some of the soldiers when my son was there. He had been shot in the head in Iraq. Man. Merle Frazier from Hartselle. Merle, thank you so much, and thank you for your son's service, and thank you for letting me know about that. One more text. John from Huntsville says, Phil's spectacular monologue. Also, JP, I told you that you should have watched indoor golf instead of watching Alabama play basketball.
Yeah, I think the Tide played their worst game of the year last night. It was not a great outing.
So basically indoor golf would have been more fun.
I've seen a bunch of funny clips from it from today, so it probably would have been more fun. So Tiger Woods made his entrance to Eye of the Tiger, which is pretty sick because it's his league with the fog and everything. So, yeah, maybe I should have watched that instead.
There's always replays.
Yeah, yes.
So I've told the story on the air before, so I don't want to spend too much time, I guess. But have I told you the story about how I got Ted Nugent's autograph that's sitting right here?
I don't think I've heard that full story, no.
I guess it's before you joined us. Mm. So Baghdad 2004. I was on a small FOB out in central Baghdad, but my division headquarters was back at a place called Camp Victory or Division Main. And it was about a 45-minute drive on a good day. And that's if things went well. And the way we went was we had to go, you know, cross a bridge, cross the Tigris River, go through the green zone, come out the south side of the green zone and go, you know, down the highway to Camp Victory. It's out at Baghdad Airport. Anyway, all said and done, I had a reason that I had to go to Division Main, but it was kind of flexible as to when I went. It was my choice. And then I heard some news. I was talking to a guy. He goes, man, did you hear what's happening tomorrow? And I said, what? Over at Victory. What's going on? He goes, Ted Nugent, Toby Keith. And I said, shut up. And he goes, yeah, they're playing a concert. I said, they're not putting the word out. And he goes, no, they don't want people driving in like that. I said, well, we're about to. So I went and told my team. I said, we're on the QT. Go get the shooters. So the mortar platoon was like one of our security details that always went out with my team. And I said, tell shooters we got a mission. What are we doing? I round them up. I'll tell you, everybody. And I told them, I said, all right, here's the deal. Tomorrow morning, 09, we head out. Nobody tell anybody. Toby Keith, Ted Nugent. And they're all like, oh. So this is a big deal, right? It wound up being one of the worst travel days I've ever experienced. We just missed at least two IEDs. One of them took out a vehicle not long before we came alongside it. I mean, we didn't see it. It was right before we got there, though. The Baghdad heat and the traffic was unbelievable. And when I say traffic, it's weird. It's like snarls, like you would sit. And of course, when you're in the war zone, sitting makes you a target. So we would have to fight our way back out of the traffic to drive on sidewalks and run down medians and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, our 45-minute trip took us over 2 hours. Oof. And then we finally get there and I'm like, all right, fellas, listen, here's the deal. I'm making a call. We'll do our official business afterwards. Let's go straight to where that concert is. And it was out in this big pavilion area. We literally pull up, we roll up as close as we can. We're offloading the Humvees. Everybody's dropping their battle rattle, taking off their vests and their helmets and everything. And all of a sudden, I can hear a guitar playing. And we're about 100 yards away from the stage. And all of a sudden, I hear, thank y'all. We love you. We'll see you soon. And like, no way. Because we had spent so much time trying to get there that the concert was over by the time I got there. But as I'm standing there, Toby Keith and Ted Nugent come walking up, and they walk about 10 feet away from where my team's all standing there looking despondent and dejected. And they're kind of walking along, and they're talking, and they get on this armored bus. I mean, it looked like something out of Mad Max. It was an armored bus for them to be taken to their plane. And I looked at one of my guys. Everybody had a nickname, and his nickname was Animal. And I said, Animal, sir, team needs autographs. I'm on it. And he just walked over there and got on their bus. It just like just acted like he owned the place. He walked over there, got on the bus, and he comes out, and he's got all these USO 3x5 cards with autographs. He starts passing them out to everybody, and I've got Ted Nugent sitting right here.
I didn't know it was Ted Nugent still just now. That's a cool story.
That's it. Ted Nugent. It says Ted Nugent 04. So anyway, it sits here in the studio, and you may recall it was before your time here, but back in the day, we had Ted Nugent on the show.
Yeah, I've seen parts of the interview before, yeah.
Yeah, and I got to thank him and tell him that had happened and how much it meant to me that he came over there. And it was also when Toby Keith was, you know, dying of cancer, and so we talked about that. But anyway, very cool story. But I appreciate it when they actually go where the troops are and try to make, you know, bring a touch of home.
It takes guts to go over there during time of war, do anything like that.
Well, this was at a dicey time too. Mm-hmm. I can just tell you, a group called the Mahdi Militia, the Shia uprising was really in full swing, and it was a wacky time in central Baghdad. But yep, Toby Keith, Ted Nugent, boots on the ground playing for the troops, and it was cool. And we missed it, but I got the autograph.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
All right, hey, listen, there's been a lot of news today, and I'm going to jump on some of that here momentarily. And I'll tell you a few things right now. So yesterday we had, this is not part of my dippers. I'm doing breaking news stuff. Yesterday we had Pete Hegseth came out the gate strong. I mean, basically he set a tone. Good luck, everybody, following that tone he set. But Pete Hegseth, for Secretary of Defense, went through his confirmation hearing with the Senate Armed Services Committee. And by all accounts, I mean, granted, I'm biased, but by all accounts, it went extremely well. Like, the thing that I really enjoyed was that he looked like he was enjoying himself. I mean, he never looked like he was rattled. He almost looked like he was amused. He almost looked like, this is fun. What's the next question? I mean, and so that happened yesterday. There were several others yesterday too. I've forgotten who. You got the list over there with you still? There were several in one day. Today, right now, they've been doing Pam Bondi for Attorney General before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and they've also been doing Marco Rubio to be Secretary of State before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And Rubio's hearing, I was talking to you, JP, you said that Rubio's was like very respectful, which I would imagine he's been their peer now for a number of years.
Yeah, even the Democrats were very respectful to him. And they asked reasonable questions. So they weren't just trap questions like Pam Bondi and P. Hegseth got. They were actual reasonable questions you should ask a Secretary of State. So, that hearing went very smooth from what I saw.
And then Pam Bondi actually did pretty well. She had to get terse with a few of them. Like one of my favorites was, I've forgotten the guy's name right now, but a Democrat.
He's from California.
Yeah, but figures. Was just trying to wear her out and yelling at her to say yes or say no, say yes or no. And what did he ask her? Where's the 14th Amendment?
Towards the end of it, he was like, well, can you tell me what the 14th Amendment says? And that's when she said, I did not come here to do your homework, Senator. I was preparing for this hearing. But yeah, that was the gist of the Pam Bondi questions. They were trap questions that nobody can say yes or no to. So then when she wouldn't say yes or no, they would say, all right, well, then I'm just taking that as a no. It's like, They didn't care what she had to say. Yeah. They were just trying to get their soundbite on her, and that's all it was.
But she's got everything in the resume you should want an attorney general.
Yep.
I mean, I still look at her nomination and think, why wouldn't she first? Why do you even put Matt Gaetz up?
I think she's
like the perfect candidate.
Yeah. And boy, it's funny too, because it was just around that time where somebody, I can't remember who it was, said that they don't Trump doesn't like strong, independent women around him.
And then all of a sudden, Pam Bondi gets nominated. And Kristi Noem.
Yes. We posted the whole Adam Schiff 7-minute interaction with her and Pam Bondi. If you haven't, go check it out at Right Side Media's X page. It's pretty good. Her and Adam Schiff had a good back and forth. But she was fiery and had pushback, but also wasn't stupid in the sense of she didn't say anything she shouldn't have said.
Yeah.
You know, so I think she did really well.
Well, more to come, but the nomination hearings are going well. What I really appreciate is that the Republican leadership is putting these nomination hearings on now. I mean, Trump's not even sworn in yet. The nomination hearings are underway. The goal is to get as many of his cabinet officials confirmed as he takes office so that he is literally walking in the door with a team to go to work.
Yeah.
And that would be the ideal.
Well, also, Charlie Kirk tweeted this out today, which is a good insight of, you know, they're getting all these hearings done. Like, they have a lot on the same day. And apparently they got people like Ted Cruz, which are going from hearing to hearing. And, like, a bunch of the young senators are going around and they're trying to get this done as quick as possible. So that would not have been done with Mitch McConnell in charge. So Mitch McConnell would have had it spread out one at a time. And said that there's he called them the young senators, the young bucks or whatever, trying to get this done quickly for Trump. So I think that's a good sign.
Well, it is. And also I think it keeps the Democrats hopping.
Yes.
I mean, they're and the liberal media for that matter. It just keeps them hopping. They're having to run from one room to the other just to get their sound bites and their you know, juicy questions in. Anyway, all breaking news on that. And as things develop, we'll let you know. And when we see a vote being set, and I don't think a vote has been set unless it happened here recently.
No, I haven't seen any.
Yeah. But let's check along the way. And if we see something worth interrupting for, we will certainly do it. In the meantime, let's take a break right now. And we'll come right back. And I'm going to start jumping into Dipper number one, the modern suffrage. For women, just to simply be allowed to be women. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. Brian from Huntsville texted in and said, so you went to Baghdad for the Wango Tango, but you missed the tango. Yes. There you go. Jim from Gunnersville checks it in and he said, he said, I saw Bob Hope's Christmas show in 1969 in Da Nang. Wow, how about that? Thank you for your service, Jim. Welcome home. Hey, so I can't jump in the topic yet. JP just reminded me we have the other piece of breaking news that I didn't get a chance to say anything about because that's what we do on this show. We remain flexible because things happen. So if you have not heard, there is allegedly a hostage deal that has been agreed to between Israel and Hamas. It's a hostage deal, and it's not an end to the conflict. It's a hostage deal only. The details of it are still being put out, but here's the thing. And we put a post out on social media earlier. Obviously, this was going to happen. The hostage deal goes into effect on Sunday. Trump is inaugurated on Monday. Oh, okay. So it was all about the Biden administration's foreign policy that got this done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're already taking a victory lap.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
Didn't you say you saw a video of Biden taking the question? He did that kind of sideways, crooked grin.
Yeah, it was at the end of his press conference announcing it. And as he's leaving, a reporter asks him, should Trump take credit for this or should you? And then he stops and does that slow turn with the little side smile he likes to do and goes, was that a joke? And it's like... No, dude.
No, it's not a joke. And that's exactly what it is. Trump made it very clear. If you don't release them before I'm inaugurated, all hell breaks loose. And guess what? The day before, they are allegedly have it to go into effect.
There's already reports from Arabian sources that have been in the know and dealing with this, you know, trying to get a deal done, said that the Trump envoy did more to sway Netanyahu to get a deal done in one day than Biden had done all year. Wow. So.
Well, here's what we know about it. Ben Shapiro put out a good summary. He said, it is a hostage deal. It is not an end of the war deal. Phase one allows for the release of 33 hostages. The problem is we have over 100 we believe are still out there, but some reports suggest that only 23 are actually still alive. So I don't know. I don't know who's going to be released or not. Some of those are still Americans, by the way. He says the ceasefire is almost certainly temporary. It's not a permanent end of the war. Phase two of the deal is highly unlikely to ever materialize, Ben Shapiro suggests. And I would say never trust Hamas, so that's very likely true. The deal does not force Israel to alter their deployments in the Gaza region and all that. So what does that mean? Shapiro says, first of all, it means that some hostages will come home alive, which is a great thing. It would also have been excellent to get more hostages out. And second, it means the war is going to continue because, you know, Hamas has no control over Gaza anymore. And so all said and done, Trump's nominees Ben Shapiro points out that the Israeli government say that the Israeli government, the Trump team, has squared the circle. Basically, they came in and made it real clear the deal is going to be this next week. So better get your act together. That's what I imagine. If I had to summarize it, that's what I imagine that the foreign policy team said. And, oh, by the way, we're going to be a little bit harder to deal with than what you've been experiencing. So, yeah, he points out, Ben Shapiro did, the Biden team undoubtedly wanted a permanent end to the conflict as a condition of hostage release, but Team Trump presumably told Hamas that was not going to happen. In other words, the Biden administration was saying, end the war, end the war, end the war. Don't fight anymore. Stop. Stop with the persecution of the poor, poor Palestinians. And Trump came in and said, no, just release the hostages. And I'd like to know what he means by all hell's going to break loose, but I'm pretty sure what he means is we're going to give Israel everything they need, including maybe a little assistance, to come in and level the rest of Gaza. All right, there's your breaking news. We got hearings going on, and we got a hostage deal in the works. We got Trump coming in next Monday, and we're coming right back with Modern Suffrage, Dipper number one. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on Camel Day, the hump day, middle of the week. We're going to get you all the way to go-home time on a Friday afternoon, but right now it's hump day, so hang in there. We're halfway to the weekend. Text in from Mike, class of 83, Grissom High School. My classmate, Mike. By the way, Mike, I'm still jealous of your cars. I've thought about you multiple times. Those pictures you sent me, unbelievable. Like my two dream cars are in his garage. I could go all day. I just want to come hang out in his garage. Anyway, he says, okay, I see what he's doing. So the hostage deal right now, there's I don't know all the points of it. There is some discussion about whether there are going to be like hostages for prisoners.
I just looked it up and said that in exchange for, quote, a far greater number of Palestinian detainees for the hostages.
Yeah, that figures. They always get like a 3-for-1 kind of. So Mike from Grissom High School, 83, says, Netanyahu ought to issue all the released prisoners a complimentary beeper on their way out. Hit me some applause on that one. Maybe some laughter, too. That was excellent. That was excellent. Oh, Mike, good stuff, man. And yes, I want to drive your cars. All right, let's go Dipper number one. Coming up bottom of the hour, we'll have Emily Jones, host of the podcast that we have here called the Controversial Mom. She's the founder of Moms for Liberty. She'll be on talking about some of what I'm about to cover with you. But let me just open by saying this. Has anybody put together the absolutely schizophrenic view of life that Democrats have about women? Because on the one hand, they will scream at Pete Hegseth, you don't trust women to be able to do hard things. You don't want women to be in combat zones. You're picking on women. You're a misogynist, and you're not faithful. And they're all about the women when it fits their agenda. And then they'll turn right around, and virtually every Democrat in the House votes against a bill that protects women's sports. Why? Because suddenly the idea of fake women means more than real women, and real women no longer have the same rights they did. Does anybody else see that? Or am I the only one putting that two and two together? But it equals a really ugly four. So all said and done, the Democrats have got a skewed view of women. And I got to think about this. Okay, what am I going to do this Dipper on today? And I've got all these articles I'm going to go through in a minute. But it occurred to me, this is like the women's suffrage movement, where at the turn of the century, women's suffrage, and suffrage is usually defined as, you know, gaining the right to vote in political elections. The archaic kind of way of describing it is, you know, giving assent to something like a proposal or something in favor of something. You know, the really, really old version is that suffrage is in some way tied to intercessory prayer. All right. But in modern terms, suffrage generally means seeking the right to vote, which women have sought the right to vote successfully. Now I feel like suffrage for women is just gaining the right to be allowed to be women. Think about it. on the one hand, they're told they have no rights to privacy. They have no rights to, you know, sports of their own. They have to compete against people that are biologically men. They have to put up with men being in their restrooms and just on and on and on. And yet, at the same time, the Democrats claim that they are fighting for the rights of women. And I would just tell you, no, they're really not. So let me walk through a few things that have happened, though, that, in my opinion, are the pushback. It's part of the fight right now. It's part of the modern suffrage, if you will, to make sure that women are still allowed to be women. Story on the National Review, Dateline 2 days ago. A federal district court in Kentucky says slammed the door on the Biden administration's attempts to mandate gender ideology. All right, so you may recall Title IX. We talked about it many times on the show. Title IX is the law put in place in 1972, I believe. Yeah, 72. And Title IX of the U.S. Code protects women's rights in education and ensures that they have equal treatment. Okay, sounds reasonable. It's been great since 1972. I've seen everything from lawsuits about whether there were equal playing fields like softball versus baseball. I've seen things like making sure that they have programs available, that you can't hire another coach for the boys' football team until you've provided coaching for the girls' teams, you know, stuff like that. And it makes sense. And then there's the equal rights issues of access to not facilities, but even learning capabilities and ensuring that there's nothing that impedes their ability to have an education. Great. Except that the Biden administration thought it'd be a cool idea to go ahead and say, and that means gender identity. Oh, good. Now the dudes who think they're chicks are allowed to have all the rights under Title IX, which is exactly what Title IX was not supposed to do. Well, the court in Kentucky came back and said that expanding the meaning like this to include gender identity, quote, turns Title IX on its head. And the Kentucky federal court slammed the Biden administration. And why is this important? Because, yes, the Biden administration is leaving. Yes, the Trump administration would have done away with the rule. Absolutely. But this puts the nail in the coffin so that no future administration can bring it back. By the way, our Chattanooga listeners will be proud to know this decision came out of a case called State of Tennessee versus Cardona. So Miguel Cardona is the Secretary of Education for Biden. State of Tennessee's Attorney General Scarametti, who has really done an amazing amount of work, Scarametti filed suit on behalf of the state, and 12 other states, including Alabama, jumped into it, went up and just basically had at it. So that's a good thing. And it basically means they're going to try and, like, I don't know, redeploy common sense. What? How did we get here, by the way? How do we get here to where the laws that protect women suddenly no longer protect women? In fact, they do just the opposite. Well, we're going to protect the men that think they're women because that's just the way it is. Well, how about the women who think they're women? Do they not have those same rights anymore? Well, that encroaches upon the trans women's, anyway. I mean, we've had some things, and it cites some stuff in this National Review piece. For instance, there was one 15-year-old girl in West Virginia who lost the chance to compete in track and field because a male took her spot on the team. She was even forced to share a locker room with that same male who then harassed her with vulgar sexual comments and made her feel extremely uncomfortable. A male athlete has finished ahead of nearly 300 female competitors. That's that same male athlete has finished ahead of 300 female competitors in the last 3 years in track and field. It's just unreal. In Oklahoma, there was an 11-year-old girl who stopped using the restroom for the entire school day because she frequently encountered males in her private space. So basically what we got here is the suffrage, the modern suffrage, the right for women to have women's rights. Just took a major leap forward with a court ruling that will now become precedent that future administrations will have a hard time getting around. Now, that being said, there's another layer to this. Because what you do want is not just legal precedent, you want congressional action. The legal precedent, very often, you'll have precedent set when there's a matter that is gray. In other words, the statute is not clear or it's ambiguous for that matter, or there is nothing in the law that says otherwise, and there's a case of what they call first impression, which means that they've never had to deal with this before, and now the courts have to rule. But then there's times when the courts are interpreting the congressional action. But if you don't have any congressional action, then you're in the gray zones. In the absence of legal precedent, let me back up. As an attorney, the thing you want most is black letter law. You want congressional or legislative action at state or federal. You want the black letter law. That is always more permanent. That is always more decisive. There will be times when it will be interpreted differently by the courts, but for the most part, the black letter law trumps everything. Case precedent, though, is still important. But we just got some black letter law moving. It's not law yet, but it's getting there. GOP lawmakers, story here on Fox News, Dateline yesterday. GOP lawmakers and Riley Gaines slammed Democrats for voting against the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. I mean, this is a no-brainer bill. Every single Republican in the House voted for it. Two Democrats voted for it, Representative Henry Cuellar of Texas and Vicente Gonzalez, both of Texas. They voted to pass it. But all of the other 206 House Democrats voted against it. After the bill was passed, it says Republican congressional representatives and women's and rights advocates condemned the Democrats who voted against it. Speaker Mike Johnson said it was shameful that only two Democrats would join them. And he says the American people sent a clear message in November. They want us to return to common sense. But it seems that some of our friends in the other party are ignoring the plea. These are major leaps forward. And this is big doings. And yet, at the same time, think about where we are, that we're having to fight for women's rights to have women's rights. That's the modern suffrage, in my opinion. We're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. And I gotta play you. Brace yourselves. I'm going to play you an audio clip from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the young barista in Congress. Had some great comments on the floor. Wow. We'll be right back. And, and we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, I got to tell you guys. So Right Side Media, the parent company, we got a lot going on. So Right Side Radio is only one of our productions. We got multiple podcasts. We got video and audio podcasting. We've got a written op-ed that comes out every week. It's published in newspapers all over the place. We got all kinds of stuff. Go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, and check it out. But one of the things Butters has reminded me today, so we do a daily newsletter. It's called the Right Side Report. It comes out by email. If you want to get on the list, super easy. That phone number I was talking about, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Just text the word newsletter and to that number. And you'll get an automatic response back that says, here's how you sign up. And we'll get it in your inbox every single day. We won't sell your list to anybody. Don't worry about that kind of thing. But one of the things that that Butters has got going right now is there's a daily poll. And the poll right now is on which one of the confirmation hearings do you think is the most important? Which one did he say was leading so far? Do you recall?
Hegseth was leading right now.
Hegseth is the most important right now.
As of right now.
According to our poll.
I think he said the poll will be up till Sunday. So
yeah,
y'all go sign up and...
And get the newsletter.
Yep. And, let us know what you think on that poll, who you think is the most important confirmation right now.
Outstanding. Hey, all right, coming up, bottom of the hour, don't forget Emily Jones calling in from Moms for Liberty. We got a lot to talk about. And she's also one of our podcasters, by the way. She hosts the Controversial Mom podcast, which is really, really solid. But she's probably going to love the comments from AOC. AOC qualified as a barista, but not necessarily qualified as a congresswoman, except she got elected. AOC, who will say almost anything and just be absolutely sure it's right, even though there ain't no way in God's green earth she ever was told that by somebody with an ounce of wisdom. Well, she had a rant on the floor about women's sports and the disregarding of the transgender women, she says. And she even went on to make certain claims that I'm thinking, what is she talking about? You got that thing queued up? How long is that clip? I posted this morning and I forgot what it, like a minute 12 or something like that?
No, it's 2 minutes and 14 seconds.
Oh my gosh. I'm not sure we can do AOC for 2 minutes.
No, we have to, we'll go as long as we can bear.
Kick it off.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair, Madam Ranking Member. Here we are today. Republicans who have voted against, consistently, against the Violence Against Women Act, who have taken away the right of all women to choose and have control over their own body, who, as women are bleeding out in parking lots across the country, standing there, allowing us to die.
Stop. Does anybody have any idea what she's talking about? Women are bleeding out in parking lots everywhere.
I was like, what does that even mean?
What's happening at Walmart? What is going on in the parking lot at Target? I do not understand. Women are bleeding out in parking lots everywhere? What is she talking about?
Everywhere.
Last I checked, by the way, violent crime is still a crime. Like, there are actually laws.
Last time I checked, yeah.
And I feel certain that we're about to talk about abortion, too. Go ahead, play it.
Now want to pretend today that they care about women. And why? To open up gender and, yes, genital examinations into little girls in this country in the so-called name of attacking trans girls.
My God, stop.
And to that,
there's no such thing as a trans girl. Can we go ahead and make that clear? There are dudes and there are chicks, and that's it. And then there's dudes that think they're chicks, and guess what? They're wrong. Just saying. But I like to think that I like the fact that she says that Republicans are pretending while she pretends that dudes can be chicks.
Yeah. Ironic, isn't it?
Play it.
That today, what we have to say are two words, not today. The majority right now says there's no place in this bill that says it opens up for genital examinations. Well, here's the thing. There's no enforcement mechanism in this bill. And when there is no enforcement mechanism, you open the door to every enforcement mechanism.
So let me get this straight. What she's saying is going to happen. What she is hypothesizing is going to happen. Her postulations, her ruminations, what she is saying is going to happen is that men won't be allowed to participate in women's sports. But to make sure that we know who's who, everyone has to come up and open their pants for inspection. Listen. That's not going to happen. It's just not. Can I go ahead and say it's not? By the way, JP, you played sports pretty much all your life.
Yep.
How many times did you have to get a preseason physical?
Every year.
There you go. And I'm pretty sure you have a birth certificate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And since I've known you like your entire life, I happen to know you're a dude. But yeah. But there's going to be a whole lot of that going on. And that's just what always happens. There's not going to be anybody on the sidelines doing genital inspections. Keep playing it.
Trans girls are girls.
No, they're not. Okay.
And for all the folks that are so concerned, thank you for your concern about women for the first time that I've seen. I don't know about y'all. I don't know who's been to gym class lately, but girls, even if you only believe in two genders, I've played co-ed sports all the time. But what this also opens the door for...
Hang on, no, she didn't. No, she didn't. She didn't play co-ed sports. If she did, it was going to be along the lines of, you know, like couples tennis or something.
Pickleball. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's not. It's unreal. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break. We're coming right back with Emily Jones, the founder of Moms for Liberty in Madison and the host of the Controversial Mom podcast. Whew. Let's see what she has to say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville over to Chattanooga, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden. Big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so we've been talking for the last little while here about what I've coined as the modern suffrage movement. The idea that women used to have the women's suffrage movement to gain the right to vote. And I would suggest that too often when we're fighting against liberal agendas, that today's modern suffrage movement is women trying to gain the right to have women's rights. I mean, it's nuts. Well, somebody who's in the mix on this stuff right now is our friend Emily Jones. She is the host of Right Side Media's Controversial Mom podcast. She is also the founder of Moms for Liberty out of Madison. And she's on the phone right now. Hey, Emily Jones, how are you doing?
Doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for making time for us.
Of course. Always.
Well, listen, you had Riley Gaines come and speak at the dinner y'all had last year. Did an amazing job. But Riley Gaines was up on Capitol Hill again yesterday, talking about the House passing the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. Did you see that?
I did. I vaguely have seen headlines here and there, but I saw that they're, and I was on a call today talking about legislation that needs to be passed and all that. So, yeah, she's staying in the fight.
She is absolutely staying in the fight. But the amazing thing is that the fight's still going. That my understanding is that particular bill is designed to put legislative action onto the movement we're seeing everywhere to protect Title IX from any future encroachments. But like almost with exception of two, every Democrat voted against it, which still boggles my mind.
I know. And I mean, you would think that after the mandate that the American people gave our government, yeah. I'm not even going to say Trump, but gave the government to say, we're done with your crazy stuff. You would think that more Democrats would come around. I mean, you've got how many Democrats now that have left the Democratic Party and more or less at least associated with the Republican Party, and yet you still have that many people that just continue to vote the same way every single time because that's just what they're trained to do. There's no thinking, no questioning, no rocking the boat, nothing.
There were actually two Democrats, both from Texas, Cuellar and Gonzalez, who voted for it. And I'm thinking, so what happened back in Texas? I mean, are they just more conservative Democrats, or is there something in Texas that said, get your acting, you know, together? I don't know. All I know is this is such a common sense piece of legislation that you look at and go, how can you vote against mm-hmm. it and then still keep a straight face?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how many, and we've all heard the statistics of how many women have lost scholarships and awards and titles and all of that. You get a mandate like we gave in November that said we're tired of this. Like, we want women to be women and nothing else. And you still continue to vote for the same old stuff. Yeah. But I'm with you. Like, what happened to those two people in Texas? And how long will they remain with the Democratic Party before they're kicked out for ruffling feathers and not following in line?
Well, I know that one of them, Cuellar, has actually been very vocal about the southern border, asking for the Biden administration to do more, and they wouldn't. So puts him in a rock and a hard place, I'm sure. Let me ask you this though. Did you also see though that the federal courts have put a pretty serious legal stamp on getting rid of the Title IX degrading that the Biden administration was trying to do?
I did. I was actually on a watchdog call earlier today, and they were talking about it. And one of the attorneys that was on the call was a part of working that whole piece of, or the whole court case. So that was always fascinating to hear the inside scoop. But it was a great review or a great ruling from the judge, just basically killing it in the crib. But, the conversation we had today was that basically this is a great thing, but it doesn't mean that we all just kind of get to take a step back and rest. It's going to come up to the states. You're going to have states that are going to fight this, that are going to continue to implement it. And normally, I support that. You know, I think things should be states' rights to the extent possible. But the guy today brought up a really good point of really this isn't something that states should get to decide on their own, because you're going to have issues where, and we've seen this, where you've got one state that rules one way, another state that rules differently. Yeah. Well, what happens when those two states have teams that compete?
That's right.
You're going to have issues. And, you know, we saw that with the volleyball team, I think it was, not long ago. So I do think there's going to have to be legislation that truly defines male, female, in the sense that it goes beyond just sports and boys not being in girls' sports. So I do think there's still a lot of work to be done, not just locally but nationally, because they're going to have to define it. We're just getting to a point where you can't ignore it anymore. There's going to have to be something legislatively that dictates so all laws can be applied based on sex, not gender or whatever you want to call yourself each day of the week.
I have to wonder too, you know, yesterday we had the Pete Hegseth hearings for Secretary of Defense, and there was all of this talk about or questioning about whether he's a misogynist, whether he degrades women, whether he is against the idea of women even serving in the military. And I have to think that the Democrats are almost schizophrenic when they, on the one hand, claim to be the champions of women, and at the same time, they will do things like AOC standing on the floor of the House claiming that if we vote against the idea of so-called trans women, that we're voting against reality. And it just like it's like they like how do they live in the two separate worlds all at one time?
Yeah, she's so much just bonkers by herself. Everything she says, it just makes me scratch my head. But I'm with you. They kind of flip-flop on their views. They're all about women can do everything that men can do. We've got to protect women. We've got to give women the right to choose when it comes to having an abortion or not. Well, guess what? Trans women don't need that right because they're not women. They can't get pregnant. But nobody wants to say that. Nobody wants to talk about how, it just like you say, they flip-flop back and forth depending upon their topic of who has rights and what we must protect.
Well, my hope is that the common sense is restored and that some of these shenanigans and this activist mentality goes away. But hey, let me ask you this. So your most recent podcast came out Sunday, and you dealt with the idea, you kind of timely to what we're talking about now, you dove right into the idea of women being fully engaged in the political realm. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a place that women naturally don't go. And I know you and I have had that conversation before. I certainly never got into politics until I had to. But politics is brutal. It's nasty. It's backstabbing. It's all the things that women don't want to be. You know, we're not naturally controversial and confrontational. We're typically the more nurturing, stay-at-home, raising babies type people. But what I've learned is that really and truly women have to be involved in politics because so many of our priorities are being overlooked because we're not involved and we're not being vocal. And, you know, I reference in the state of Alabama, we still can't define what a woman is, which means not only are we as moms in jeopardy when we go to the library and there's a trans man in the bathroom because, well, we don't know what a woman is. Your daughters are in danger because, well, you can't prevent men from going in their bathrooms. We can at least keep boys out of girls' sports here, but it goes far beyond that. So there's so many women in our state that aren't involved in politics, that aren't making their voices heard, that are not calling their elected officials and saying legislative session starts in 2 weeks. The very first thing you have to do is define what a woman is, raise the age of medical consent, put the power back in the parents' hands, get the library stuff fixed so my children are not exposed to all this pornographic material. You know, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
But women aren't naturally engaged there, so they're not calling their elected officials and telling them what needs to be the priority, and we need to change that.
Listen, there were a couple of times down in Montgomery when I was there in the state senate that we had moms bring their kids down there for bills. Like we had one that dealt with whether insurance would cover autism treatments, and we had another one that related to a medical intervention for kids that had seizures, and you know the insurance companies were resisting. Moms bringing their kids to the state house is what changed the dynamic. I'm going to tell you right now, that's what passed those bills because they were bills that really didn't have traction before the session started. Nobody really saw them coming. But when moms showed up at the state house and started talking about being a mom and why I need you to pass this bill, the dynamic shifted. You could feel it in the state house and you almost got to where you knew that you better vote for that bill or there's going to be a bunch of moms knocking on your personal door back at home.
Well, the phrase mama bear comes because mothers are ferocious. It's not just some trendy little thing they say. So, I mean, I agree. Moms have the ability to truly change the dynamics in our communities, but it's just not a place that we naturally go. So helping women understand being involved in politics doesn't necessarily mean you have to run for office. If you want to, that's great, but it doesn't mean you have to run for office. Just go make your voice be heard and bring life to the legislation. I mean, exactly what you're saying. It's one thing when it's a bill in front of you that's black and white, nobody really understands it, but when you've got a kid standing in front of you and saying, this is why it matters,
that
opens people's eyes and they see things very differently. So women have a lot more power in politics than they realize. We've just got to help them get there.
Well, your podcast does a great job. And you got, what, like 5 editions out, I think, so far. Is it 5, 7? We're up to 7. JP gave me the 7. Wow. all right. Every Sunday, Emily Jones puts out the next podcast of The Controversial Mom. And I think it's timely. I think it's needed. That's why I'm really glad you're part of the lineup.
Yes, I'm enjoying it. I am learning a lot. And as I learn stuff, I feel obligated to tell everybody around me all about it. So I've got more on the SEL saga coming out this next week. So it'll be very enlightening and terrifying.
Oh, God. All right, Emily Jones, controversial mom, we appreciate you. We'll talk again soon, all right?
All right, thank you. Y'all have a good one.
See ya. She really does do a great job. And so, listen, that's one of the things I was talking about. At Right Side, we want to cover the various genres. We want it's not always about my voice. I don't want it to be just about my voice. I want it to be about the voice of the everyday citizen. And sometimes there's different means and methods of communicating that. That's why Emily is such a great addition to our podcast lineup, because she's talking to moms. I mean, if you're a mom who's like, I don't know how to do this stuff. What do I do? What should I be aware of? I'm not even sure what's out there, but I want to get involved. Just go watch her podcast. It comes out. It's like 20 to 30 minutes long each time. It comes out every Sunday, The Controversial Mom, and it's awesome. We got the other one, The Liberty Minute. Do you care about your liberties? Do you care about the things that make America great? Well, former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson does an amazing job in a beautiful studio of putting together his podcast that comes out, generally speaking, on Thursdays. And then, you know, I've got mine, The Right Philosophy, the same kind of things you hear about in my opening monologues. You'll hear an expanded version, and it's me sitting in my study at home, and I love the production on this. I love the ability to do it and just, like, bring people into my house, so to speak, and sort of give them my thoughts on things. I call it The Right Philosophy.
The episode of that was out today.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Today's the day. That's right. The latest version of that came out today, and I spent a lot of time unpacking the leadership issues that surround the fires out in California and how much could have been avoided had we had real leadership involved. So, yeah, I called that one Leadership Fiddles, California Burns. And then on Fridays, Right Click is our other podcast. There's four of them. Right Click comes out, and Birdman does an amazing job of using a sort of a backdrop of high-tech and gaming to talk about conservative positions. You'd be amazed how much woke crap gets put into video games these days. Unbelievable. Like, you want to pick a transgender character to be your avatar? Yay! I mean, there's so much stuff built into this that he brings to the forefront. All that's out there so that everybody has something to look at, and we got more in the works. In the meantime, we're going to take a break right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, don't forget, coming up top of the hour after the next break, we come back with the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. So a couple of text messages real quick. John from Harvest checked in about, we heard the comments by AOC earlier. He said she said she played co-ed sports. Said she probably played beer pong in a frat house and thinks that's a co-ed sport. Nailed it. Nailed it. Hit me some laughter on that one. That was worthy. That was worthy. Lisa from Tanner, Alabama says, the left claims falsely women having miscarriages are afraid to go to the ER, so they bleed out and some die from it. Is that what that's about? They're bleeding out in parking lots because they're having a miscarriage?
I think, yeah, that's probably what she's alluding to. They're too scared to get an abortion, so they're going and bleeding out in parking lots. Don't think that's happening.
I don't think that's happening.
At a large scale, at least.
I really don't think that's happening.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's not happening. Okay. But, you know, as we wrap this up, I will tell you there's the fight is still on. Like here's I got two stories here that I'll end with, that both from the Daily Signal, both within a couple of weeks of each other, both have different outcomes. I'm saying that this is the modern women's suffrage movement, as women no longer have to fight for the right to vote. In this case, women are fighting for the right to have women's rights. That's where we are. Daily Signal, Dateline November 17th, so right at 2 months ago, says, a year ago this month, this lady wrote, I was able to rid my left-wing college of liberal gender ideology. So she fought back. This is a great story. I covered this back in November. It's an awesome story. A young lady who said that she heard, and she was shocked to hear, that she goes to St. Mary's, which is part of the Notre Dame system. It's an all-female school, all-women's college. And that suddenly they had written in that applicants to St. Mary's could, quote, be people who consistently live and identify as women at a Catholic all-women's college. Well, she got real busy. She organized a protest. She organized a list of people signing up saying, put me down as being opposed. I mean, she had a petition for and she went straight to the donors of the school, who then also said they would be pulling their donations. She got it changed. And yet at the same time, Daily Signal, 2 weeks prior to that, third-year law students, Celine Saranowski and Maria Arcara, expressed concerns after a male classmate informed them of his proposal to add feminine hygiene products to male restrooms. And when they dared to make comments about it, they were punished by their law school for daring to speak up. The male student accused them of bigotry and complained to the Office of DEI. Of course he did. 2 weeks later, without explanation or warning, they were given no contact orders that prohibited them from having any contact with the male student. They were trying to be censored. They're in law school, by the way, where they teach you about the First Amendment and how to defend it in court, having their First Amendment rights curtailed by the law school. Let that sink in. So you have a Catholic school trying to go against Scripture and admit men who think they're women. You have a law school trying to suppress the First Amendment. One of those came out strong. The other one came out not so strong. What I'm saying there is this fight ain't over. There is so much more to be done. All right, you guys, we're taking a break. We're coming right back with the Grand Council with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. And you know the deal. First part of the show, we always play the camel on a Wednesday, talk about Hump Day and, yeah, getting you all the way to the weekend. But then 4 o'clock on Wednesdays, we do a thing we call the Grand Council. The Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio who've been doing it longer than I have, and we just ping each other with questions and see where the chips fall. So let me call the roll on the council. From 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN, host of The Dale Jackson Show. Oh, by the way, he also does a whole lot of stuff with Yellowhammer News and even has a TV gig. So, Dale Jackson, are you there? You are indeed. Stand at ease. And turning myself southward, I call out from FM Talk 106.5, host of The Jeff Poor Show on the radio down yonder, and the editor-in-chief for 1819 News and stuff with Breitbart and stuff with Land Yap and all kinds of stuff. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed on the telephone, and we're glad of it. I pronounce a quorum, JP. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, Grand Council, first question. I'm going to go ahead and say phone guy, Jeff Poor, what do you got?
Should we be upset that Governor Ivey daily schedule really runs from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Doesn't seem like there's too much consternation out there, but the question is there, should we be upset about this?
Yeah, so did I see correctly that she has begun posting her schedule on social media now so people know she really is doing something? Is that what I'm seeing?
I think you're seeing meetings. You're seeing details.
Well, I mean, she'd better, because right now the very strong sentiment is she's only doing ceremonial work and she's doing it on a limited schedule. And yeah, you guys got hold of her schedule and it says, or is it Land Yap, got hold of their schedule and it says that she pretty much shuts down 65% of the time by 3 p.m., which is fairly unconscionable for a job as busy as being a governor. So yeah, she better start picking up the pace here and making the world aware that she's doing more than we think she is. Dale?
The Joe Bidenification of KIV is underway. it is clearly underway. The narrative is out. And this is what we're going to see a lot of. And it's not unfair. It's completely reasonable. It's exactly what's happening. There's a lot of people that are concerned about it. I talked to one elected official statewide yesterday, and he told me all of this is untrue. All of this is untrue. Every aspect of it, every single bit of it. She's fine. Yeah. She fell at an event for Caroline Dobson, and she had an episode, at a fundraiser and another event here recently. But it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine.
But you know here's the thing. We can look north and see Bill Lee. We can look south and see Ron DeSantis. We can look, west and see Tate Reeves. We're seeing governors all around us who are out front leading the charge on the policy issues. And we don't see that like I said, I've known her for years and I like her, but it just feels like she's lost all steam. Jeff, it's your own question. What are your thoughts?
Why are these so-called statewide officials willing to give her cover? Have you ever seen a governor, even Bob Riley, Robert Bentley? I mean, go look back at the governors over the years, and there was always a little friction between, everybody else and the governor. But this governor gets away with everything. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a complete pass, and I don't get it. But it's almost like no one wants to rock the boat, and everyone wants to pretend that everything's right, because what that does is it gives them the ability to keep doing what they want to do. And if somebody comes in and takes charge, guess what? They're all on the chopping block because they've not been telling the truth. All right, next question. I'll take it. So apparently there's been a straw poll, 1819 News. Jeff Poore, you're reporting that a straw poll by the Dothan Chamber of Commerce. My first thought was like seven people showed up, but you say 136 people showed up, and 49
take that, Dothan.
And 49% of them favored Tommy Tuberville to be governor over Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth, who got 33%. So now straw polls, I tell you what, I'll hold my comments for a minute. Jeff, it's in your periodical here, so what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I would say that, I'm a little surprised that a Chamber of Commerce straw poll would show Coach up over Ainsworth, because I always operated on kind of the assumption that Ainsworth will be the Chamber of Commerce guy, right? The business and community guy. Tuberville's a wild card. We don't know what you get with him. This is not a scientific poll. It may not mean anything as far as elections go, but I'd be a little concerned that that's who my bread and butter constituency would be, and they're looking at another. Yep. Be like, hey, come on in, the water's fine, Coach. I mean, I'd be a little concerned about that if I were Governor Ainsworth.
What do you think, Dale?
I would be worried about, look, if Tuberville wants to be the governor, he's going to be the governor.
Yeah.
Right? Is that basically the gist of what you're telling me, Jeff?
I would agree.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would assume probably.
That's the narrative that Jeff Poore is selling, and I know how that sounds. It's not meant to sound the way it sounds, but that's me and Jeff have been going on about this every Sunday night and every Wednesday day for the last like month and a half. You've convinced me, Jeff. If he wants it, it's his, right?
Right.
I think that's true. I mean, I agree with Jeff. I think if Tuberville with his name ID and his red meat populist kind of base right now in his time in the Senate wants the governorship, he's already a statewide candidate. It's just too easy to turn it into a governor's race. So there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, here's the thing, though. Straw polls don't mean squat, generally speaking. I mean, how many times did Ron Paul win the straw poll in West Alabama and then never won the state ever?
Or at Drudge or at Breitbart.
Yeah, exactly. So I look at this grain of salt, but the fact that they're talking about Tuberville and putting his name into a straw poll is a clear indication that people see him as someone who's going to jump in. All right, we got about 3 minutes. Dale, your question, what do you got?
All right, here we go. In 3 months, will Trump or Biden be trying to take credit for this peace deal that was announced today?
Oh, it's already happening today.
I mean, well, I know, but what I'm saying is, did we forget that it's Hamas? I mean, they're not going to stop. They'll be back, and this is not going to go as they're made. We have two Americans getting released, one not.
Yeah.
This is not going to go the way we're pretending in the media that it's going to go, like it's some massive victory here. Yes, the pressure from Trump, I think, led to this. Great job by everyone. Wonderful stuff. They're all trying to take credit for it now. 3 months from now, will Donald Trump be like, it was a terrible deal. No one should have done that.
Probably, but here's the other thing. Donald Trump almost went down the Obama red line, you know, kind of road by saying, if you don't have them all released before I'm inaugurated, all hell's going to break loose. So is he going to unleash hell at this point? That's what I want to know. Is he going to really get in there and say, well, you know what? Biden worked out this partial deal. I'm not settling for that. Guess what, fellas? We're coming over. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do, but if he's not going to unleash something, then he's got egg on his face because he said he would. Jeff? Did we lose Jeff?
Hopefully. Let me ask you this.
Yeah,
if Donald Trump doesn't win on November 5th, does this peace deal happen? And I don't know that it does.
No, I don't think it does.
I think that's a big component that you can't overlook, that, you know, there's a different pressure, a different environment, a different possible evolution. So Trump gets a little credit for it, but, I mean, it's sort of like this, though. It's still Biden's watch. Good or bad, he owns it.
Jeff, my point is this. It's going to go badly. This is not going to be some massive, huge success. I think we all acknowledge this will go badly by the time this is all said and done. And I think that's the point I'm trying to make. This will all go badly by the time this is all said and done. And they will all say, wasn't me. It was the other guy. That's what I think is going to happen.
Or like I said.
Badly for thousands of years, Dale. I mean,
I agree with you. That's what I'm saying.
But
if it's a prolonged peace and we forget about it in 6 years, I mean, it just depends on how long it holds and it's not on people's mind. But there's like another attack on Israel by these people, and yeah, it goes badly. It would be my guess.
Well, here's the other narrative, and I'll end with this. We got to go to break, but if Trump comes in and says, "I said I'd unleash hell, and now I am because I got to fix what Biden couldn't do," and it actually works, then he'll be running around saying, "You know, Biden's foreign policy was like always halfway. I made it right." And that's if that happens, then he will absolutely be claiming credit. I got to go to a break, fellas. That's round one, Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll come back for round two right after this. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're back with round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. First question, round two, Jeff Poor, what you got? Did we lose him again? Is he there? Hey, Jeff. Hey, Dale, what's your first question?
Sorry.
Okay, there you go.
I'm having a hard time hearing here. The other question I have, looking at this upcoming session, and we spent a little time talking about it, but I don't know what the expectations are. If they try to raise the internet sales tax, and there's a real push, and some guys are saying absolutely not, but it won't go away. I mean, this is a hill to die on, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I was there when we formalized it and gave it a reasonable level. And I mean, there was all this, you know, like no one knew what to do and sales tax was already the law, but no one could collect it and the state was losing revenue. So we said, okay, let's do this. How about a flat rate of 8%? Doesn't matter where you live. And we'll divide it up among the locals and states. And everybody went, oh, that works. And states all over the place started calling us going, how'd you do that? And it was a game changer. And if they're talking about raising it, I mean, listen, they're a Republican supermajority. How about freaking act like it? I mean, they're already talking about, well, we may have taken too much and, you know, away by giving away the overtime tax. And, you know, and then they're scared about the grocery tax. And then, oh, by the way, why don't we raise the online sales tax? How about you just act like Republicans for once, for God's sakes? Dale Jackson.
I think they've learned that there's no consequence to this, right? Like, what if they do it? So what? What's going to happen to them?
Well, that's a great point, because right now they keep getting away with it. When you live in an R state where everything's R and there's no real competition. You've got to have competition among yourselves, and people are going to have to rise up that are more conservative than the R's that are in there to make this happen. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
Jeff, it's your own question. What do you got?
Well, I mean, I would assume, Phil, you and I are on I mean, does Dale Jackson get upset at this?
Apparently.
Apparently
he's eating a donut honestly, right now, like, or something.
He sounds a little disengaged here. I mean, we talk about this all the time. We never talk about cutting spending or cutting government ever. When have we ever done that? Other than when the Alabama Policy Institute think tank decides to start their own Doge instead of doing it like in house. But like, it doesn't. I think Dell's right though. I mean, there's probably not going to be much public buy-in here.
So what we just heard was that Dale likes tax raises. That's what I just learned.
Awesome. I like that Jeff like starts this off by insulting me and then comes to the conclusion that I'm correct.
It's awesome.
Well, yeah, but like you're like a representation of the average person in this state, I guess. And oh, it's not meant to be insulting you, but you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the most backhanded compliment I have ever heard.
Hey, you know what? I don't even consider that an insult. That was fine. I like that.
You're like,
I am America in human form. I'm cool with that.
I get to watch my Monday Night Raw and whatever.
I got to pay $14 to get it on Netflix now.
All right. Hey, let me bring you back to another question. Speaking of the legislative session, I think Tennessee went in today and Alabama goes in a couple weeks. And so is this the year when the Alabama legislature is finally going to realize they're going to have to legislatively define that men and women are the only two genders, and oh, by the way, that's biology based on birth. Is this going to happen this year? Because there's a push for it, but for some reason, it keeps getting lost in the play. Dale, your thoughts?
I think that they have kind of dragged this out about as long as they possibly could. They kind of nibble around the edges every year, so the next year they can come back and do something else. It's like the ban on DEI. We'll do it for K-3, and then we'll do it through K-3. You know, so yeah. I think. They're nibbling. I don't know how much more nibbling you could do on this one. I think it's about time. But they've also kind of gotten beaten to the punch because looks like Congress could do something about it. And I wouldn't put it beyond the United States Senate to watch as some Democrats come over and be like, yeah, we shouldn't have a guy with a penis dunking on children. That's probably or dunking on girls. That's a problem. And I think they'll step up, and I think they might do something. So we may not need to. That may be a different story. Congress may take it over.
The idea of waiting on the feds is one of the worst pieces of state legislation misbehavior ever in like the history of ever. Your own thoughts, though, Jeff.
Go ahead.
Your own thoughts, Jeff. We're running out of time. What do you got?
It depends on what Governors Smitherman and Singleton think, if they're willing to give up the floor to let something like this pass. And my guess is probably not.
Well, we'll see. I personally think they'd better do it because I think they're starting to look really feckless. And if they sign it to a commission to be studied, then we're going to call them out hard. We got like less than a minute, Dale. You got a quick and easy question?
Yeah, I do. Huntsville has a DEI office.
Whoop, whoop.
Are they gonna be able to continue doing that? It seems like Craig Ford said, "You can't stop me. What are you going to do about it?" Is that a challenge for the legislature?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And did Tommy Battle actually like want this? Did he ask for it, or is this?
It's
something
been going on since 2013. He was the mayor when it started. He's the mayor now. It used to be called the multicultural thing. Kenny Anderson, the old head of it, said, "My biggest accomplishment was Jazz in the Parks."
Nice.
So good for him.
Transgender Awareness Day or something great. you know what? City of Huntsville is disappointing. It truly is. I mean, they're the biggest city in the state. They carry the most clout.
Birmingham North. Get ready for it.
Listen, we don't need another Woodfin. So please, Mayor Battle, get your act together. All right, we got to go, fellas. I'm leaving it right there. Appreciate both of you. Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. Dale Jackson, WVNN up yonder in Huntsville and Yellowhammer News. And just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden, big old patches of Georgia, Mississippi, and all of it just thrown in for good measure. Let me go to the phone, the phones real quick. I got Jeff Rowe from Indiana on the line. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm coming into Nashville, so you tell me.
Well,
I asked JP if he'd want to run an escort for me up here and get me through here, but he declined.
Is there not a bypass? Is there no way you can meet every single day? It's the same thing. You're like, oh God, it's Nashville. Is there not an alternate route?
Yeah, there is. If you want to go a long ways out of the way, and so you're just kind of
might be faster.
A crapshoot, which would be faster.
Well, what's on your mind, man? What do you think about all the stuff we've been talking about today? I had the women's suffrage issue. I had Grand Council. I had stuff about the confirmation hearings. What are you thinking?
Well, I don't mean to make women mad, but women's suffrage has brought suffering to this United States.
Oh, my gosh. Are you saying they should not be allowed to vote? What are you saying to us?
Well, I'm telling you, statistically, there would be a whole lot less Democrats than elected to office if there wasn't any women voting.
Well, that's because there'd be fewer voters.
But I mean, percentage-wise, this is all tongue-in-cheek, but I mean, you know, I don't really believe, but, you know, statistically, I think Kamala Harris even had, I think, was it 10 points on women for against her from Trump.
Yeah, so, which I don't understand, because you can't tell me for a fact that women are better off under the Biden administration. Ain't no way. Ain't no way, no way, no how.
Well, Democrats voted Biden in there, and who would ever thought that would ever happen at the numbers that it did, supposedly, you know.
But, well, yeah. But what do you think about the fact, though, that, like I coined the phrase earlier, that this is the modern women's suffrage is women fighting for the right to just have women's rights. I mean, that's kind of where we are with fighting the Democrat agenda.
Yeah, and it doesn't make any sense. I mean, if someone can tell you that, you know, a biological man can be a woman, and it has any teeth in the law about that, you know, just because they say there's something order, what my thinking is, you got these people that, you know, say that have these body modifications and everything, they tattoo themselves green, put scales and bumps on their head and horns and stuff, and claim that they're a lizard. Now, according to that, the way the thinking is there and everything, if I murdered that person that thinks there's a lizard, could I be charged with murder because they no longer identify as a human being?
See, you're getting into some serious gray area there now, man. You have too much time in the truck to think about this stuff.
Well, especially when I'm in Nashville. 3 miles an hour is easy on the head. But also on this on the hostage releases over there in Israel.
Yeah.
I think they should have cut a deal that they would release all the people that the Israelis have in prison, all the Palestinians, in exchange for all of the hostages. Because then, you know, because you got all these people, I don't know if Israel has a death penalty or not, but you got these terrorists in their jails over and everything. Let them go back to Palestine. That way, it's free range. You know, if they mess up and become part of Hamas again and everything, you know, they get basically wipe them out.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out that every single one of those that's being released from an Israeli prison got microchipped at some point, just like you do your dog. I mean, they're gonna have a LoJack out there tracking them down, going, let's see, where did they go? Oh, look, a tunnel. And next thing they're taken out on the battlefield. I agree with you, man. Let them go. You know what, though, the thing is? I bet you about half of those prisoners would rather stay in jail because they've got a better life than they would right now in the Gaza Strip.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt that a bit. And that's kind of like the Gitmo people, too, and everything. How many of them have they released here lately, I think?
They've almost cleared it out. The Biden administration cleared it out pretty hard just about 2 weeks ago. Trying to get everybody out of there before Trump can take office. Guess what?
Yeah, well,
Gitmo's still there, and we can always put them back.
Well, no, we would need more people to fight on the battlefield, you know, because you know they're going to go right back to what they was doing.
Listen, let me ask you this. Back on that hostage rescue or hostage trade-off thing, who takes the credit, Trump or Biden?
Well, we know that none of this would happen if Biden, if Biden would have been reelected. I guarantee none of this would be happening right now. So this is Trump's strength. This is Ronald Reagan's moment with Jimmy Carter. It's like he couldn't get the hostages back, and then Reagan come in there, and it's like, oh, yeah, we'll give them back to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no problem.
That's exactly what's happening. Peace through strength means something. The question is going to be that this is not a full release, and we're not even getting all the American hostages back. So it's kind of a crappy deal in that sense. But I look at it and think Trump said release all the hostages or we're going to unleash hell. And I'm just wondering, does he unleash hell now?
I can't believe any of them still alive, to tell you the truth. Can you imagine the hell that they're having to go through over there?
No.
It's unimaginable, I'm afraid.
I agree with you. We're hearing that actually many of them aren't even alive anymore. But all right, brother, be careful on the road, and we will talk to you tomorrow, all right?
All right, buddy, I'll be careful at 3 miles an hour.
All right, see you. Bye.
See ya.
Text lines are open, by the way. I mean, at this point, you might as well go ahead and wrap up the show with texting and calling. We got 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And I got to tell you, a lot of y'all, like yesterday, we may have set a record with you know, well over 200 people watching the streaming online. If you are outside of the range of our overly broad radio, then don't worry. You can still get us. Like Charlene, my lovely Charlene, she listens to the show on her phone most every day. You can pick it up streaming online. You can get it audio only on your phone. You can go watch the live stream audio video on online, any device. And so, like, you can go to YouTube. You can go to our, we have two different X accounts, my personal one at Sinfield Williams, or you can go to at Right Side Media. You can go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, where all of our stuff is. You can go to Rumble. You can go to Twitch. We're all over the place. Bottom line is this. You want to be anywhere in the whole wide world, you can go to the World Wide Web, and you can stream this show live no matter where you are. Here's the one thing I would ask you. It would mean a lot to us, and I'm asking with all sincerity. We are a growing company. We are podcasting. We are writing. We are radio. We are doing all of it. But every single one of the platforms we're on opens up new opportunities for us if we get more subscribers and or followers. So if you're on any one of those and you can click like or click subscribe, there's no cost for doing that. It helps you find us again later quicker, but it also grows us. And that would mean the world to us if you would. All right, that being said, we are got some text messages in the hopper right now, so let me just grab some of those. Brian from Huntsville. He says, Brian S. from Huntsville. He says, I do not believe that women are dying bleeding out because this is, okay, this is AOC's comments. If you didn't hear it, it was obnoxious and over the top. Go figure. She said that women are, Republicans are standing in the way of protecting women, and there's women bleeding out in parking lots all over the nation. We have no idea what she's talking about. He says, I don't believe that women are dying bleeding out because they're not getting care for their miscarriages. However, if they are, it falls squarely on the feet of the Democrats who've been telling lies about how women cannot get care for miscarriages. That's a good point. When you scare them away from the care that exists, they don't know they've got it. That's exactly right. Brian from Huntsville, the other Brian from Huntsville, that was Brian S., this is the regular Brian, says, women fighting for women's rights. I agree. He said, I as a man shall gladly, all caps, fight for women's rights. If a male insists on entering an occupied women's bathroom, then the game is afoot. You know what? And that's a great point, Brian. So let me say, it takes that, all right? A young lady should not have to be the only one speaking up when a dude walks in on her in the bathroom. There should be dads. There should be moms. There should be restaurant owners. There should be the casual passerby who hears the screech and says, what's going on in there? That all of us should be saying that because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take that level of pushback for this madness to stop. So, yes, I totally agree with you, Brian. Good word, man. Let's make sure we're all involved. You see something, you say something. Yellow Dog Mike from Huntsville. He hadn't been around in a while. Where you been, Yellow Dog Mike? Hadn't texted in since November.
You know, Yellow Dog probably has tail between his legs after the election.
Well, now, there you go. But now he's all about it. He says, a drunk, a cheating husband, an accused sexual predator walks into a bar. A bartender says, table for one for Mr. Hegseth. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay, Yellow Dog. Guess what? You lost. Good luck, buddy. Tom with all the kids checks in. He says, 10 to 3. Isn't that 4 hours a day more than Biden? Talking about Kay Ivey.
That's true.
Good point. Bill from North Alabama says, I'm sure Tuberville is more popular in the Auburn area, while Ainsworth might have more support in North Alabama. That could be true. Ainsworth is really strong, obviously, in Northeast Alabama, especially. He's from the Gunnersville, Marshall County region. He's probably got strong connections elsewhere. His family is very well known. Tuberville is known everywhere, and I think his name ID is going to be higher. Keep in mind, too, Ainsworth is an Auburn grad, so while Tuberville is associated with being an Auburn coach, and granted he's got a big name ID with that very thing, Ainsworth can claim the Auburn mantle as well if you get down to it.
Yeah, but namesake, like, I feel like Ainsworth just has no chance as of now.
Name on name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in a head-to-head right now, Tuberville's got it.
I think 75% of Alabamians may not even know who Will Ainsworth is.
And that may be true, but that's what the elections are for. The campaign season is to drive your numbers up. And I mean, it used to aggravate me when they would say, well, your name ID is not high enough. Well, I've lived here 20 years. Well, your name ID is not high enough, you know. So, but yeah, they're going to work on that. That's why they're going to inundate us with ads.
It's true.
That's going to be a heck of a primary if they're both going at it.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's Tuberville's race to lose. But who knows, maybe Kay Ivey, you know, dips out before her term's over. Ainsworth has incumbency. That's still a possibility.
That's still a possibility, in my opinion, yes. And, you know, here's the other thing. If you're Ainsworth and you see a Senate seat coming open and you've got reasonable statewide name ID and a lot of money, which he does, and you don't want to run against Tuberville because you recognize the uphill climb might be more than you can sustain, maybe you turn your attention to the U.S. Senate.
So that's that. I think that's the more interesting one, is if Tuberville runs, who will replace him in the Senate? I think that's the more interesting question. I don't know who that would be.
I think at that point you've got an Ainsworth, you got a Steve Marshall, and I think you'd probably have a couple other people that are known, and I can think of one, but I can't say who it is right now.
Mo Brooks.
Do what?
Mo Brooks, run again.
Oh.
I think that's, Mo Brooks. That's an interesting name.
That could be interesting. That could be very interesting. All right, Paul from Decatur says, hey, Colonel, Paul in Decatur. He says, I served with females at Jump School, Pathfinder, deployments in Mosul, Iraq in 03 and 05. Females proved to be beasticles versus testicles, okay? The females wanted and volunteered to make convoys. Sadly, some of the males refused to go. They said, bust me and send me home, I won't go. Yeah, listen, I totally agree. There are some dynamic women in military service. There just are. I've served with several myself. And at the same time, what I want to know is, and what Hegseth has said is, it's not about the gender. It's about the standards. Let's not lower the standards to get more gender in. Let's make sure the standards stay the same. And if you can meet the standards, you've earned the right to be there. That's where we need to be. Brian from Decatur says, I'm sure that many other people feel the same way I do, but whenever there's a video or a comment or a highlight of Biden speaking or a video of any Democrat, I just turn the channel. The ignorance and stupidity get my blood pressure up for no reason. Oh, it's not for no reason, brother. It's for all the right reasons. Brian from Decatur, thank you. Scott from Somerville says, terrorists at Gitmo should be returned to their native soil via a B-52 Bombay door. Airdrop them in, with or without a chute.
Without. Yeah.
And then Jeff P. from ARAB says, great show today, Phil. Brightened my day after a deer jumped in front of my car this morning, totaling it. Oh, dadgum. Wow, and he sends a picture. Well, Jeff P., I hope you're well, brother, and I hope you got some venison in the freezer. Wow. All right, we're taking a break. We're coming right back. Last break of the day here on Hump Day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, giving you all the truth you could slap on a bumper sticker. Butters from Rainbow City. Butters. Butters just checked in. Tells me to run for office. I'm not running for office, Butters. I'm not.
Anytime the word governor is said on the show, there's at least one.
What is Butters?
Though? It was Butters.
It's our man. He's it's Butters. John C. from Madison says, the last time I had venison stew, it had a horn ornament and tire treads mixed in with it. Oh, God. That's awful. Listen, I actually hit a deer, well, more than once, but I hit a deer in Birmingham on the interstate.
That's kind of crazy.
I was driving in the dark, and Charlene and I were in two separate cars, and she was ahead of me. And all of a sudden, my phone rang, and I looked over. I had, you know, the thing where it comes over your dash. You can hit the dash button and answer it in the speakerphone. And I said, hey. And she goes, don't be in the left lane. And right as she said that, I hit this deer. And, I mean, it must have just been knocked down because it was still huge. And I was driving just a sedan, a Ford Fusion at the time. And just – it just, like – I felt like I had just run off the road. I mean, it was bad. Anyway, my car stayed in together and got home. The next morning, my car was filled with ants. Like, I mean, like not a little bit, like an infestation of ants because of all the meat underneath the car that was rotting and the ants were being drawn to it. It was awful.
That's not fun.
No, it wasn't. I had to take it somewhere and have it steamed out.
I've never hit a deer, knock on wood.
Brother, let me tell you, I hit a mule deer out in Colorado. I was driving an 18-passenger van. I might as well have hit a horse. It was that big. It jumped out in front of me like the John Deere emblem and took the entire front grill and headlights and everything off this this 18-passenger van that I was driving at 2 in the morning. And there I was, stuck on a dark mountain road, and a snowplow finally came along about a half hour later. And with a leaking radiator, I limped along behind him to the Gunsmoke truck stop about 10 miles down the road and had to call for help. It was a mess. Chip from Muscle Shoals says, oh, sorry, I'm not voting for you. It would ruin my favorite radio show. Oh, thank you, Chip. Appreciate you. And then John from Huntsville has the grades in. He says, Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor both get a solid A for their equally solid performances. Jeff from Indiana gets an A+ for his awesome phone call. However, today's co-champions are Phil and JP. Obviously, Phil and JP, says, with a perfect A++. Congratulations. Let you guys know that you're both still at the top of my favorite radio people list, and nobody else is even close. John, thank you, my brother, and you are right there at the top of our favorite radio fan club list, so thank you very much. You are a ruffian, OG ruffian from way back, so we appreciate you getting the grades in every day on time. Dorothy from Elkmont checks in. She says, B. Arthur, that's the one who played Maud, served in World War II. She was a Marine, active duty truck driver. I did not know that. How about that? That's very cool. Listen, women have every right to expect more out of Democrats. And Republicans have every need to make sure that we are right there alongside the idea of women having equality, not equity, and having open doors, not just doors being held open. And making sure that we are doing all the things necessary so that young ladies can have the right to privacy and security and the ability to play sports freely. And I'm just saying, all this stuff, if we got to legislate it, let's just legislate it, because apparently common sense is not always allowed to prevail. But that's what we got to do. That's the modern suffrage moment, is women fighting for the right just to have rights to be women. That's what we got to fight for. All right. That's it, man. I'm telling you, what a great show. Listen, there are more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.